cliffcentral.com. Welcome to Belighted with Rami and Romeo. Hello, Romeo.
Ah, my darling, good morning.
How are you?
I am fresh.
Welcome to the new time slot.
Yeah.
We just had to say that so that it sticks on the podcast so they know that we're like at 9 o'clock.
You know what's funny? I actually find that our video is funny watching it.
No, I was just looking at you saying, oh my gosh, Romeo. Romeo.
I'm that guy. I need to bring things into order.
We were going there. By the way, my seat is actually still warm since Gareth was sitting in it.
Yeah.
So I don't have to warm it up. My chair is like nice and warm now.
I actually have to say, you know what? Big ups to the boss lady, Rina, you know, for believing in us, number one. So I just want to say thank you. And they must cut this little clip and just send it to her.
Yeah, just this part.
Rina
is boss.
You are cool, awesome, and wonderful. And thank you so much for really giving us an opportunity. And you know, you kind of like meteorically rising the show into new heights.
Wow. Okay, you could have just said levels, but hey, it's fine. I'm not English like that.
Yeah.
But you know, Romeo, in our first show, in our new time slot, I mean, we wake up to the news that, you know, over the weekend, Mom Tanditlasen passed away.
Yes.
And I don't know if people really know who Tanditlasen is, because, you know, she was a lady from Kofifi. Mm. You know, she was born in Sophia Town, and she died being 86 years old. You know, she started singing more than 50 years ago.
Yeah.
That's how big and how long her career spanned.
Yeah.
And I thought it would just be right for us to just, like, you know,
pay
a bit of tribute and tell people about her a bit. Mm. I know a couple of things. Okay, you know, I studied music, and obviously having to do a lot of assignments, a lot of history in music, history of music, which they just say, okay, write something amazing. And one of the things that I remember I did was I did an article, a project talking about the icons of Sophia Town.
Is that article still available?
Because
I think you're going to have to
share. I don't know, but I remember.
You need to find it.
But can I tell you, I remember I got 96%.
What?
That's how good it was.
Okay.
I think that one and the one about Bobby McFerrin.
Right.
Those were my highest scores. Mm. But you know, Tanditlasen was born She was born in Sophia Town.
Right.
But like, I think it was in the late 30s.
Yeah, it should be late
1931.
Yeah.
1931.
This is 86.
Yeah,
1931. Don't put our maths knowledge to the test, please.
Yeah, no, I know maths. It was never my fault. Yeah. But you know, one of her biggest songs was Sophia Town. You know, and I remember when she was in high school. Well, when she was in primary school, she was discovered by she was inspired by the Jazz Maniacs. They used to be called, like, you know, we used to have band and everybody played live.
Yeah, correct.
So what they used to do back in the day, and I don't know how far back in the, because I remember we used to do that, you know, you'll take a band and you'll go perform at a school for free, just so that people can know that you're a singer, you're a performer, you've got a band.
Yeah.
And they did that at her school, and that's when she got hooked.
Mm.
She got hooked on that, and she was like, I need to sing. And obviously, you know, when you ask a singer, a performer, when did you start performing? Where did you start performing? They all say, I started in Sunday school, I started in church, and they were part of the choral and all of that. And she was as well. She was all of that. She joined the choir. She did everything you can think of. And then after that, you know, during Sophia Town, what I loved about Sophia Town was the love. You know, people always remember, like, they were tzotzis and stuff like that. But what I like about Sophia Town was the romance.
What I liked about Sophia Town was the fashion.
The fashion as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the fashion, the dancing, you know. Mm. Right now, which is why we've got musicals like Sophia Town. We've got a couple of musicals which dwell on Sophia Town.
But we have to address the issue of how much does the millennia know? Because we were fortunate enough, I think our generation, we were fortunate enough to kind of like have a good, nice switch and crossover of, you know, the evolution of South African music up to where it is today.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, if you asked a millennia, you know, who Tanditlasen is, do you think they'll know?
But then you see, that's another thing. I think we just need to go back and revisit our history, because if we don't do it ourselves, nobody's going to do it. Also, it's our responsibility. I mean, like, for instance, Botshelo loves music, but I don't remember if I don't think we've had a Tandit Larsen Sophia Town conversation with Botshelo.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm. But also, I think it's entirely up to us as the people who are in the know to share that. Mm. Because the funny thing is that even now, in 2017, we've got musicals that are based on Sophia Town. Mm. And I was just thinking, 30 years from now, if we're to decide to do a musical, okay, I think Kwaito would be one of the biggest genres that will sell in terms of musicals, movies, and all of that.
Mm.
But then when it comes to dance, I was like, can you imagine now having a musical and you have people where we're going to have a twerk session?
Mm.
Because at that time, people were twerking.
Yeah.
Okay, but then back to the tribute, you know, Tandit Larsen went on, she used to perform with Mamira Mageba,
yep.
Dole Ratebe, you know, Sophie Mqhina, and Dorothy Masuka.
Right.
And they're actually all part of King Kong, the musical, the one that was written by Todd, Todd Machikiza, and they all went overseas promoting the musical. And what worked with that musical, it was during apartheid, you know, and this was people who came up with a unique idea from South Africa, and I mean, in Zulu, performing in Zulu, in English, in Afrikaans, in Sotsitaal, and all of that, and it was a very, very big, I think it's one of the biggest musicals that South Africa has had to date.
Okay.
You know, and King Kong. And the funny thing is that Mama Tandit Larsen, I was listening this morning, Dorothy Masuku was saying, you know, she was such a straight talker.
Mm.
She was so on point. She didn't deal with rubbish, she didn't mince her words.
Mm.
And they've known her to be like that. And she has inspired a lot of musicians that came behind her, you know, because we always think we are in this generation, so that older generations, they all belong together. But no, we have the generation of Tandit Larsen with Mamira Mageba, with Dorothy Masuka. Then it goes down to, Letambulu. Letambuli. Then it goes to Yuma Sekela, Kefa Semenya. Those were like that. They were like a couple of years apart.
All right. So my suggestion is that maybe, firstly, welcome to our listeners on the new show, time slot rather. And then I think it's befitting that perhaps you are listening and you have something wonderful, perhaps a personal experience with Mom Tandit Larsen. You can actually send us your the details on 079-748-2090. That's our WhatsApp number, 079-748-2090. And we'd like to hear your story. Maybe you met her in person and she was always full of life, and chances are when you've been touched by her, you will never forget.
You know, speaking of personal experiences, I think one of the stories that I enjoyed when I was on Kaya with Mara Lowe, she was talking about her experience with Tandit Larsen.
Mm.
And they've got actually a video that I also saw yesterday. They were on Felicia's show. Okay, Felicia was just like snapping away like a white woman, not getting the rhythm. But hey, it looked good.
Yeah.
It looked really, really good.
Mm.
And they were just singing there. And it is amazing the stories that Mara speaks about Mama Tandi, and how lively, how jovial, how jubilant she was. Because I remember when she was in her late teens, she was bent with acid on her face. I mean, she was a pretty girl. She was this beautiful diva, singing, performing all over. And she was one of those people who did big bands as well.
Mm.
And then that unfortunate incident took place. And I remember there's one thing that she said, and she said, "You can burn my face with acid, but you will never take away my voice."
But what I like as well is how many references has been given about her character and personality more than her looks, or, you know. So it's another thing to say, perhaps you are listening, and I always like to ask the question, when your name comes up in a conversation, what do people talk about?
Yeah, it should be interesting.
Mm.
It should be interesting. And you know, another thing that I think we're losing touch with in the South African music industry is that we don't inflate our musicians as we're supposed to. We don't make them as big as they are. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Tandit Larsen has performed everywhere, all over the world, you know, Germany, the US, I mean, all over Europe, you name it, she's been there. And now we see people like Patti LaBelle and Roberta Fleck on TV, like, oh, I think I like Patti LaBelle.
Mm-hmm.
And then you actually realize that, no, in fact, Tandy Larsen has sung with Patti LaBelle and Roberta Flack. They were actually her curtain raisers.
But do you find that the world tells our stories better than we do?
Yeah.
And they are documented. I mean, if you go to a lot of your international universities, you find that our work has been documented. But is the same, would we say the same about South Africa documenting its own stories?
I think that is another challenge that we have.
Mm.
And I think we do have a couple of archives, but then those are the archives that need to be released. Those are some of the things that need to be taught at school.
Do you have,
for instance, the history of music that I'm telling you about. That was research that I had to do myself. I had to piece it together, ask people, go all over the place, ask other musicians, you know, older musicians, because I remember when I was in FUBA, I mean, you would walk into a whole lot of icons and then you'll be able to say, please just tell me a bit about you, about that. And I mean, I remember like when I was finding out about divas of Sophia Town, I was shocked. Like, for instance, songs like Tula Tu, Tula Sana, Tulum Dona, Tula Sana. It was sung by Eva Madison, you know, and songs like Middle Lands, that was Nancy Jacobs. But remember Sophia Town, it was like that corner where black and whites used to get together undercover, under carpet, you know. And then they used to have all these parties, and a whole lot of music was written. And we've got lots of lost music lying there.
I want to ask you, do you think we have a one-stop shop website that talks about the history of South African music? I mean, obviously, there's bits and pieces.
No, we don't.
So perhaps here's a project that we should get funding from, hint, hint, from the Department of Arts and Culture.
Yeah, that would actually be interesting.
Because we have to document.
I know that, no, we don't have. We don't
have. To document.
I know that. I know for a fact that the Proudly South African website, they've tried to document some of the musicians, you know, a bit of profiling, but you don't have all of it. You don't have all of that,
right?
You know, but her music has, I mean, there's this beautiful song. I mean, the her biggest hit, you know, when you say Brenda Fassie, you think Weekend Special. And when you say Judith, you think A Cry, A Smile. You know, it doesn't matter how many albums.
No, when you say Judith, you have to say Memo Tswadi.
No, it's always A Cry.
For us, fine.
We'll talk about that later, right, when we talk
Don't
to Judith.
Don't get me started.
But now, with Dorothy, with Mam Tandi Tlasen, when we say Tandi Tlasen, we talk about a song called Sophia Town.
Right.
And what I liked about that song, the chorus, it says, I had no chance to say bye to romance. I had no time to leave it all behind.
And it was a said,
place.
I had a chance to say bye to Romeo.
Romeo, focus. I'm telling you something important.
All right, romance, you're talking about romance.
Yeah. I had no chance to say bye to romance. I had no time to leave it all behind. It was a place I knew where my dreams came true until they broke it down. Sophia Town.
Do you know that Rami can sing? It'd actually be nice to hear you sing it.
No, leave me alone. and you know, and that song, when you listen to her, you can hear that she is crying, she's mourning for this place. And which is why I said, what I remember most about Sophia Town, well, it's not like I was there, but what I liked most doing research about Sophia Town was the dancing, was the romance, was the relationships, the fashion, the get-togethers. There were no standards, there were no levels. You are A class, B class, C class. Everyone was the same. You know, you bring out your KCIALA and then you sit out there and then the dancing starts and everything. And then you actually get even these singers, they would sing like just there out in the open. It was just part of it. It was just like a whole lot of, Sophia Town was just a musical in itself. And I think it would have been interesting to have been part of that era, because when you read about it, it's so electrifying. And it is people like Mam Tandi Tlasen that has made that happen, that made that thing happen. And for that, we salute her and we honor her.
Yeah.
And we thank her for her contribution to the South African music. And we know when they were out there, when they couldn't be led back into the country, there were those ones who just went out there and put South Africa on the map. And you can never let something like that, a legend like that, just say, she died and that's it.
And also, but one thing I learned about her life as well is her tenacity to live beyond her limits. And also, you know what, you know, they burn you with acid. You can imagine if now they burn you with acid. Chances are you think I might as well die right now. But she lived for so long. And it's like after the acid burning, she was more confident.
Yeah.
And number two, as I say, she was referenced by her character and the beauty of her personality and how she embraced everyone.
Yeah.
So for me, is what can you learn from such a story?
Yeah, and they say that you can't be a Kofifi icon and not have an Okapi. So I know that she had like that little knife, like quick, quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, obviously, she's most famous for being the only one of the only ladies who stuck to Tsotsitaal. I mean, she spoke it all the way till the end.
Consistently.
Yeah. And what I liked about what Mam Dorothy Masuku said this morning in another interview, she was saying, legends like that, they never die.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what happens. They might die in body, but they never die. They're always around us. They're always around us. And for that, we are forever grateful. And on that note, if you just tuned in, we just had a treat to Mam Tandi Klassen. And we are joined in studio by another legend.
Living legend.
Living legend.
Too awesome to mention.
Yeah, well, living a living testimony agent, legend. We have in studio Miss Judith. Yeah. Judith Puma. Are you giving her drum roll? I thought things that should be left in 2016.
Ah, never. This the one drum goes. Roll. This one goes.
The drum roll is a lifetime.
Judith.
Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome. Hello, sexy lady.
Good morning to everybody and good morning to all the
Thanks
listeners.
Thanks for wearing the colors of the show, like of the station. That's
so
like
awesome. Yes, I am in the spirit of
it. I can see
yes.
So how are you, lady?
I'm wonderful.
Happy New Year.
Thank you so
much.
I love
how chilled. You know, you're so chilled. She's a veteran of radio interviews as well.
Yes, I am.
How many would you estimate the number of radio interviews you've done in your lifetime as an artist?
Yo, I don't even know.
That's your homework to find out.
I don't know if she will remember that.
All I know is that I've had the most amazing, great interviews of my life. Yeah. Interviews that have actually made me grow, that have made me really happy about just being who I am. So it's been great.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
You must document your life. You see, it's simple things like that where you say, in my lifetime, it would be some achievement to say, in my life, I've actually done 2,500 interviews.
Yes.
You see?
It would.
But I think you've done more than that.
No, I'm just saying, imagine if you can equate it to a number.
I give an example,
I know what you mean.
It's been really great interviews. And I must say, you know what, I've always done really great interviews, interviewed by the best in our country and in the world, internationally and locally. So it's a great journey that I love talking. That's another thing.
Yes, you do. And before you take away the show, I think we must just get straight to some of the questions. I almost said Mulalo. Okay, Judith's other name is Mulalo. We call her Mulalo Kogai. Kilalo. And her recording label is called La Lomba Music.
Yes.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah, that's
for
where
peace.
Yeah,
it's vendor.
Yeah,
for peace.
It's a vendor name for peace.
Yes.
So, Judith, when Romeo talks about interviews, he reminds me of one particular interview. Okay, I mustn't get emotional. 2001.
Atlapa. Atlapa.
2001.
Yeah.
A Cry, a Smiley Dance was released. Okay. And I think it was one of the first interviews you had. It was on Metro on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Then what they do, they play the song first.
Mm.
Okay, and then I'm driving by myself and I'm thinking, this sounds like Aban. Is it?
Can't be.
Can
it is.
One of those
maybe it
moments.
Is. Yeah. I remember where I was. I was driving out. I was coming from Pretoria town, going to Sunnyside in Pretoria.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hit Kanaking, the one that goes out, Skuman. Yeah, sorry, Skuman.
Yeah.
And then I was going to join going through Acadia, going into Sunnyside. And only then after the song, they said, and that was Judith Supuma with her debut album, A Cry, A Smile and A Dance. And that's her title track.
Wow.
Listen, I lost my mind. I could not believe it. Because we know that I know that you started singing when you were like literally 4 or 5. And you started having your band when you were 13?
No, a little bit later.
A little bit later.
Yeah, it was when I was about in high school. To go to varsity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you had a garage band, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Yeah.
So let's start there. Tell us about the garage band, because I know that's how it all started. That's where it started, but I don't know if everyone else knows that.
Yeah, you know what? The garage band story was more like, you know, when you're growing up and then you have this guy who's heard about this young girl who can sing, and then they come to you, Barry, we have a band, we're looking for a singer. So I was so shy that I couldn't even, you know, I didn't want to look at people or people look. If people looked at me, I thought, oh my God, they're going to do something to me. So I was very shy. So I approached two ladies who were twins. Actually, I was approached by the twins who came to me and they said, listen, let's go join the band. And I went. We joined the band and they were so energetic. Those girls were absolutely beautiful. Sara Le Martina, they were wonderful. And we performed in that garage band for about maybe a year, but the guy robbed us. So now I left because I think he gave me 3 rands instead of giving me a little bit more than that. And I found out about it. Yeah. But those were the moments where, you know what, every Brenda Fassie song, I sang and I led, and they knew whenever Judith was going to sing a Brenda Fassie song, nobody can actually sing it. So let her sing Brenda. Mm. To a point that they called me Brenda Fassie.
Yeah.
You know, and those were the moments where, on, you know, when you don't know, you start thinking, okay, you know what, Brenda Fassie is so good. So I'm Brenda Fassie.
That makes it good.
Yeah. So Brenda Fassie, we loved her. And most of the artists won't even say this, but Brenda is the reason why most of us are singing.
Yes.
Because we all wanted to sing like Brenda. We were all little Brenda Fassies at some point. So the garage story and went on for about a year, and then it ended. And when it ended, I think at that point, I think you're not 13 years old, you know, I was about 13. And then at a later stage, I stopped, I did my studies. And then I met Brenda then again, you know, about shortly after that.
Yes. And I remember you performed with Brenda.
And you were the first person that I saw in front, who ran right in front of the 12,000 people. And I just had Lalo in the audience.
No, my voice was gone after I screamed your name throughout the whole song.
So
I did. I forgot Brenda was on stage.
Let me tell you, when I saw Rami, I got so much energy because I thought, okay, my sister is here. Rami is, you know, my mom's our sister, so she's my sister. So I'm like, okay, my sister's in the audience. So I sang even better than I would have sung if she wasn't there.
So she was your beacon, in essence.
She was, you know, and I got so excited. Then I looked for her afterwards. I couldn't see her, you know. But then Brenda Fassie for me, you know, I realized my growing up musically, came actually when I met Slalo Sluta before I went to varsity. That is after the days of the garage, you know, life, which was really when we traveled. You know, touring. I did a tour with that garage band, a tour wherein we went to little, you know, like we drove for like an hour away from home. I mean, I was touring.
Yeah,
we were the tour band. It was happening.
Like Ramaja,
Raskukuni, you know, and I'm like, Zone 3. It was a serious tour. So we talk about tour. Nowadays, musicians talk about tours. They talk about going to Durban and Cape Town.
Yes.
Dude, let me tell you, you got to do proper Limpopo. The entire Limpopo knew who I was.
But let's talk about the distinction between how much preparation you do now.
Yeah.
You know, looking back, preparation you do right now for a tour.
Yeah.
Versus how much logistics you had to put together back then in the garage.
Oh, back then there were no logistics. You just had to arrive. Let's cup tea.
You didn't have SNTs.
Come with scarf tea. You can wear whatever you want.
Yeah.
Go and sing. And this man was hard. I had to sing that song, you know, the special song that everybody wants. All of them, I knew word for word. Even where Brenda breathed, I knew. You know, but it came to a point, you know, whereon I meet this guy, this gentleman, Slalo Sluta, who was very hard on himself, and he still is hard on himself, wrote me the most beautiful songs that actually, you know, put me at a place where I am now. Mm. A Christ When I Dance is one of them. And this guy said to me, changed my mindset about how I looked at myself as a Brenda girl. He said to me, you know, there can only be one Brenda.
Yeah.
You can actually look at her as your inspiration, but
don't be her.
Be Judith. He said to me, nowadays when they call you Brenda, say no. Tell them your name is Judith. Even at Varsity, when we got to Varsity, he said to me, you know, he fought for me to have a name in front. He fought for me to have a sea-based collective featuring Judith Sipuma.
Yes.
Right.
I was never a part of. I was always Judith Sipuma because, and I never understood that until when the name was built and when the name became a brand and a very strong brand today. So preparations to a tour goes, it's serious. A tour, let me tell you, I mean, I've been traveling a lot and seeing, working with international artists and local artists and putting in the comparison to say, how do they put a tour? How do we put a tour? We play a little bit, but well, they work, you know, but putting together a tour means you need to firstly have people that are going to make sure that that tour happens. A tour is not just you and your band. It's you, it's the band, it's your manager, it's your the publicist, it's a road manager. It must be a proper full-on production, meaning you have to rehearse the entire production from not just a week before the show. It takes a month, it takes 2 months to prepare. And it also means, you know, financially as well, you have to put in a whole, for people, we have never done a show whereon people came to us and said, why did you not? The only thing they say is, why did you not do 3 nights?
Yeah.
You know, so.
But one thing that I have always known and appreciated about you as an artist is how much you appreciate and you always give credit where it's due.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that throughout your career.
Yeah.
And, you know, say there's an upcoming artist, or, you know, you talk about the young artist today.
Yeah.
How important is it to really, really acknowledge people? And, you know, you are, I call you, you are fan-centric. You know,
That's
you,
English.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, do we need a dictionary?
I'll break it down. Hold
okay.
on. So, fan-centric is sometimes you, in your shows, you actually stop the music and you actually sing together with the crowd.
Okay, yeah.
That's being fan-centric.
Oh,
yeah, that's being fan-centric.
Word, yeah.
And I know how much, it's like, I know Komotso more since he actually started working with you. And Komotso is usually the background guy.
Yes,
but because of you,
team,
he's now in the upfront.
Yeah.
So essentially, how would you help a new artist to define their own belated moment about the importance of acknowledgement?
It's important for people to know, Jorge, on my own, I cannot do what I do. When they see me standing on the stage looking the way I do, let me tell you, my team is crazy because they will even tell me, you know what, they will say, Busi's my manager, and she'll say, she'll even say, yeah, you know, in Zulu, you will not wear that. And then Khomotso will say, you know, he scrutinizes and scans all my interviews. You know, he will say, yes, this we can do, this we cannot do, because he's a brand he looks at the brand and he improves the brand holistically. So, and he's very special because, you know, it means, someone once said to me, you know what, when you work with people, you have to work with people who actually love you a lot.
And they have to love the brand.
Before they love the craft. They must love you as a person. And when they love you, they'd be able to tell you the makeup you're putting on is not nice. Right. You know what? You're picking up a lot of weight. It's not good for the brand. You know, because seriously, you know, our brand needs us to look good. Our brand needs us to actually appear good. So it's important, you know, to those up and coming artists, you know, that are starting out, Jorge, you know, acknowledge the people you work with. They will actually give you more than you asked for. They will love you, they will make you look good, and they'll protect you. And they'll protect you when there's a need to protect you.
Yeah.
Because we need protecting as artists,
true,
you know.
True.
So,
well, if you just tuned in, we are talking to the diva herself, Miss Judith Sipuma. She's joining us here in studio on our first installment of our 9 o'clock slot.
Yeah.
And it has been absolutely a pleasure since we started. And Judith, I want to take you back.
Yeah.
Because right now you guys are talking 2017, and we need to go back in the day, because now everyone sees you as a complete package. They see you talking about, you know, the brand. But then where did the brand start? Where now coming to this? Because I remember Romy was saying, when you compare the two.
So talking about
the logistics of putting a tour together. You know, now you said you bring a scarf team. I remember there was a time where you just have to carry a guitar and then Slalo would carry the monitor and then you'd walk all the way down to Kippies. Now, just not only about the people, but the institutions, the places that have made you, the person that you are. Because right now I know that Kipis is his. There is no Kipis.
There's no, sadly.
There's no Kipis, sadly.
Defunct.
But Ish. Kipis, that's where a whole lot of musicians were made.
Yeah.
That's where a whole lot of musicians were discovered.
Yeah.
And take us back on your journey with Kipis, and then after that we'll then just figure out, now that if we don't have a Kipis, then what is it that we have
that
now?
That we have to do.
Yeah.
It's so sad that such places like historic venues like Kipis have to die out, because for me it was more, you know what, if you are a singer or a pianist, a musician basically, you have to go and touch Kipis. It's almost like you're going to tap into your blessing.
Yeah.
It was one of, because there were people
it
generations
really
before. Absolutely, you know. And then if you did not play at Kipis, listen, you have to go walk somewhere near Kipis,
yeah,
and say I walked past Kipis. You know, but I had such great moments. I remember Nali Sylvester Mazinyani.
Yeah.
We raised funds to go study at UCT, Leslie. It was me, Moses Muleloko was actually a part of the whole raising of funds. He played with us.
Yeah.
And then what an artist. He played with us, and then we played also with Sylvester Mazinyani, Slalo Suluta. And I think there was another bassist as well. But we raised money so we can actually just get into a bus to go and audition.
Yeah.
So that,
because
we
then
can
you were
be,
at FUBA.
I was at FUBA at the time.
Yeah.
So we did that, and we raised more than we wanted. We went to University of Cape Town. When we got to UCT, oh man, everything was like, okay, this is where we want to be. And that's where, in the first 5 years, I think I was trying to find this genre of music that until today I've actually decided to call it inspirational music.
Yeah.
People call it jazz, people call it Afro jazz, people call it a lot of things, but I believe that that album, A Cry, A Smile and A Dance, had so many inspirational songs,
loaded.
You know, where people came and called me and said, listen, I was listening to A Cry, A Smile and A Dance, I was about to commit suicide.
Yeah.
My marriage was falling apart.
Yeah.
My son, this and that. And that's what I call inspirational music, and that is, you know, what I'm called to do.
You've said something so profound, and as a life coach, that's what I preach.
Yeah.
And you are a living example.
Testimony.
I'm approached by a lot of young people who are always battling to kind of like get their idea into, you know, to get their, start something, whatever.
Yeah.
But then the biggest complaint is always money.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to fund me.
Yes.
Nobody, you know, I spoke to so-and-so, I was hoping that. But for me is, you need to start small.
You have to.
You need to use what you have to build what you want.
Yep.
And it speaks to exactly that. You went and raised money to go to university.
We did. We did.
And you know, to your surprise, you actually raised even more money.
Even more. Mm. We actually raised money that sustained us for when we got there. Because we didn't know where we were going. Mm. And lucky for us, we got accepted.
Yeah.
And then we started immediately.
Okay. Before Rami killed me, you are kind of like trying to face out the journey.
Yes.
You know,
because you know why? Because people, they never ask about this. Mm. They're always like, okay, we see you're like a multi-platinum. Everybody
but
knows
where
that.
Where did it all start?
But we don't know the journey.
And those struggles,
you
know, the moments where you nearly gave up, you know. And I always say, and I'm going to keep quiet, I promise. I always say, your vision must be big enough to carry you when everybody has dropped you.
Yeah. You know what? You that is so powerful. You actually also have to want it so bad that nothing is going to stand in your way. You must know that this is the only thing you have that is important. You can do other things, but this is your priority. You know, now I knew nobody's going to give me the money. Who was I at the time? It's even difficult now with the name that I carry to go and say, this is, can we, you know, that's why most of our shows that we have done, we've done ourselves.
Yes.
You know, La Lumba Music has funded everything, including our recordings, you know, and it's actually the best way to do it. It is hard. It requires you to have a heart of sacrifice. You need to have a heart that is willing to sacrifice finances, you know. A lot of people, they think it's easy. It's not going to get tough. They want it smooth. Let me tell you, if you want it smooth, look at the road you walk daily. It's not a straight road. If you're running, you're going to get through hills where you want to give up. But then you look at the end, you're like, no, I want to get there because you know what the goal.
You know where you're going.
Where you're going is bigger than, you know,
where,
so
you, are.
Where you are. So you, that's how I've always been a fighter and a believer in going to places where people think I cannot go. Meeting people that people think I cannot meet. Even I never thought I could meet people that I have met. I mean, I've done such great things. And that is just the beginning. Yep. It's so, so small things. There's really even greater things to come. And that's how we should all be thinking. Nobody's going to give it to you. Go work for it.
I say wisdom always starts the moment you realize that nobody's coming to save you.
That's it.
You know, okay, going back again, please. Yeah. Can you go back, guys? Yes. Why? Okay, I don't know why you keep jumping to 2017.
This is what I want to do. Yeah. I actually love the way you guys click. It's a pity our listeners won't see it. And I feel like I need to give you time to actually go back, and I'm going to keep quiet and just talk there.
Yes.
This is so beautiful.
Okay, now going back. Yeah. Okay, because now, okay, today I think more than anything, I want people to understand the struggle that goes behind the end result that they see.
Yeah.
Another thing that people don't know about Judith is that you actually went for I don't know how many years and sang on a ship, on a big boat, and you lived there. For 2 months. You lived there for two months. And you were seasick and everything, but you still gave the show.
Oh, no, I had children.
Yeah.
I had children. I had bills to pay and I had a career to carry. So, oh my God, Rabia.
Yeah.
You know, those are the moments I always say. You know, when I have my interviews, that my moments, what people think was hard, what was such a stepping stone for me. It was such a wonderful moment. I see it now. Then it wasn't. But now I believe I had to go through that.
Yeah.
For me to be able to see where I am now, to be able to go through certain challenge that happened then teaches me to handle now.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and in 2 months of being on that cruise ship, I was not even singing any of my songs. I was far from releasing. I wanted to just make money. Listen, I made so much money. I bought my first car cash. My kids were going to a world of school, you know, and I was adversity working and studying at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in a beautiful cottage, you know, and all of that was taken care of by the 2 months at the cruise.
Yeah.
They're doing jingles. I did so many jingles for television,
for radio.
Listen, I was the girl. I was that girl.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, another great moment.
Yeah, can you imagine you still going, Life Boy? But anyway.
Cadbury. Cadbury was Brenda Fassie. You see Brenda's situation.
Yeah, but she didn't do the speedy one.
No, she didn't do the
speedy one. Scholar Citril.
No, she did.
Cadbury.
What year was
Cadbury's
that?
Cadbury's chocolate eclair. Hey, Lee, Hule, we are too shy.
Oh my God.
What year was that one?
Back in the 80s.
Like a long time ago.
Yeah. 86.
I did Omo in Chivenda. Yo, guys, I did jingles. And I did the Old Mutual. There was a beautiful, beautiful ad of Old Mutual with a pregnant woman. People never knew. It was so beautiful. I think it was Old Mutual. And I did another one. I don't remember the others that I did, but there was this particular studio in Cape Town.
Yeah.
I was the girl for ads. So that money helped so much because it was a lot of money when it came. They don't pay you when you finish the jingle.
Yeah,
they pay you month end.
So.
You collecting like 10 jingles. So when it comes.
So it's a lot of money.
So me, that's where humility for me, I mean, I used to pray so much for humility. Lord, if I can actually be able, you know, to handle this little money, what more? Because I knew I was going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I saw it. You know, I was like, oh, help me be able to actually handle big monies when they come.
Yeah.
And you know what? It happened exactly like that. But it becomes a shock every time. Okay, they paid me about 4,000 rands for like a 2-second ad.
Yeah.
Sometimes it went up to like 18,000 rands. It was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money.
You know, for a student, you know.
Yeah.
So growing up and going through those journeys of the cruise ship, coming out of the cruise, studying, having to be a mom at the same time, those things make you so strong and they make you define. There's that line, you know, that you draw because I could easily have either turned into an alcoholic or being a drug addict of sorts, because it was too much.
It is
for
tough.
A girl my age. You know, I was young, I was vibrant. It was tricky
and vulnerable. But then, when we talk about jingles, it's because what you were saying, oh no, what Romeo was saying, is that people nowadays that they just want to wake up and they're like stars, you know?
Yeah.
And we're having this conversation so that people can actually see that.
Yeah.
It is a collection of smaller nyana things.
Yes.
That come together.
Yes.
And make this big thing that all of a sudden you've exploded in front of us.
Yeah.
But it's actually not an explosion.
Yeah.
It is something that I was waiting to happen. It's like it's been brewing under and boiling and boiling and boiling to a point where like now it can't stay hidden anymore. It has to come out.
Yeah.
You know? So also, like someone will be sitting at home saying, no, I'm busy doing my thing. I don't want to, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to try that.
Yeah.
You know, we've had lots of musicians that have been backup singers for other.
Yeah.
Look at Luther. Luther was a backup singer for Dionne Warwick for years.
Yes.
Even when he was Luther, when Dionne Warwick had a show, Luther went and did his backing vocals for Dionne Warwick.
Yeah.
Lisa Fisher.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people, you know, and Even here in South Africa, people like Tozama, people like Nogukaya, you know, people like Brenda Mtambo, you know, they've got their own projects. But guess what? When it comes to a particular time, they're the ones who take the back seat and they come and push you. They become your backers.
But it's important to also strengthen your networks.
Yeah,
because when people feel that, you know, you could humble yourself as big as you are to come and actually support them.
Yeah.
Because that's part of how artists should support each other.
Yeah.
It's not only about me coming and paying a ticket to come and attend your show.
Yeah.
But the fact that I can't possibly pay but still beg for you.
Yeah.
Another thing that I remember now when you talk Romeo, when you talk about being humble to come and be supportive and be able to stand behind someone. When Maduba Madima did her DVD recording
recently.
At the state, recently at the State Theatre.
Yeah.
You know, there were so many musicians.
Yes.
So many musicians seated in that audience.
Mm. Yeah.
And when she did her last song, all of them went up on stage. Mm. Judith included.
She bribed us. She threatened. Actually, she didn't bribe. She threatened us.
So she was like, you come up here.
Us,
but they all went. But they all went.
Which was amazing.
And stood behind her. And did backing vocals for her. Mm. These are people who could have easily said, "Ah, Marma Dubai, yes, we know you're big, but sweetie, you're not bigger than me. Mm. So I'm not going to be standing behind you and doing this and this and that." Mm. And it shows that in the music industry, the entertainment industry, or wherever, those are the things that we need. And now I think we must move to 2017, 2014, 15, 16, 17, and move from being part of a big recording label and having La Lomba Music and doing things on your own. Like you were saying now that, you know, you had to fund your own shows. You had to like now you're the person paying for your own production, your own marketing team.
Yeah.
You don't have a big label carrying you.
Yeah.
And somehow you still managed to do that.
Yeah.
But how has the transition been moving from a big mainstream recording label with all the money backing you and marketing you,
to becoming an entrepreneur,
and to becoming your own
an enterprise.
And everything facing you,
and with everything facing you, when there's no stapler, we go like, "Ah, Lalopela, there's no stapler." You're like, "Why am I dealing with stapler?"
I'll tell you one thing. I prepared myself. It's like with every decision you make in life, unless if you are ready to make that move, don't do it.
Don't do it.
And I'm talking personal, business, especially things that you know will affect you permanently, will change your life permanently. I was ready to record under La Lomba Music, my own label, because I think 2 years before, when I was still at Sony, I started thinking about it and talking to people, a lot of good people. And I learned a lot from being at Sony. Sony, for me, was the most amazing time. It was one of the most precious moments that I had ever experienced in my life as a recording artist. But me having to leave was even better because now those challenges that I thought I would not be able to handle, I could handle. Mm-hmm. Unless if I was not ready. I would not be talking like this. I would be talking struggles. My gospel album would not be, have been selling platinum. It would not have been where it is now. And that has single-handedly happened, you know, with a great team of very few people, you know. And the thing that I said earlier on about being willing to sacrifice financially. Our recording, gospel recording, cost us about 800,000 rands. And when I say us, I'm talking about La Lumba team. There is nothing that I do where I say I. You know, it's a we situation all the time. When I go on stage and I sing a wrong note, they know that we sang a wrong note. I'm not playing with them. We are together. We are a unit. We are a family. That happened. The move happened. It was a great move. Challenges were there. Challenges are still there. But the focus must never shift.
I could actually borrow from what you're saying, especially the saying that the smaller your circle, the more success you build.
Yeah, it's better.
But also what I wanted you to, I think this is my last question, really about how did you manage the success vacuum? And what I mean by that is sometimes all of us are thinking that money would really, once I have money, I'm going to do this and this.
Yeah.
But what it's you don't easy. Prepare for is the fact that now, once you've paid for that and the money came and the success came,
you are
not ready for the new life after the money.
Yeah.
How did you manage that? Because you spoke a lot about how you made so much money.
Yeah.
And then you've paid for that. You've bought the car. Chances are you've driven your dream car. You've stayed in your dream house. You've done it all now. Yeah. What's next?
Oh my goodness. You know what? It's not an easy thing to do. But like I say, when you have the focus, when you know, Khoro, this is the only thing you have no choice but to make the most of it.
Yeah.
You have no choice but to do research. You have no choice but to associate yourself with greatness. Because it's only unless if you associate yourself with greatness that you will do great things. So I became that person. And I'm so hungry for even more of it. You know, if you're not going to speak value or add value into my life, I'm not interested. And I don't want people who are going to come and say, yo, kunzima. I want to learn. There is nothing that says kunzima. It's hard work. You have to be a hard worker. You have to be business-minded, absolutely business-minded. You have to know when to say yes to paying for that ad and when to say no for paying for that ad. You know, when to say yes to this interview and no to that interview. You know, remember, as much as we are running an empire, I call it an empire, it's an empire. My children are going to live off it. You know, I need to be careful of how I structure it. Right now, we are working on our, it's such a bad habit for me to say our.
It's a good habit. I'm loving it.
A good bad habit.
Yeah.
You know, we're working on our second gospel album. And we are working on two more other projects, and they have to happen. I have a team where on when I say, guys, this is what we are doing this year. What do you think? They will say, yes, no, we're thinking yes, but let's structure it in this way. I mean, we sit down, we talk about this. You know, including our distribution company, we sit down with Electromode. We say, can we do this? Can we get ideas from iTunes? How can we? That's how you actually remain successful. And that's how you actually remain relevant and current. I'm actually looking for a collaboration with one of the DJs. One of the, whoever's listening there,
which,
unfortunately.
Which DJ? I'll search out quickly. Do you have a DJ in mind?
I want two.
Which ones?
One of them is Euphonic.
Ach, man, that's done.
No,
done.
We've already done. Spoken to Euphonic. Actually, he owes me a collab.
Yes.
Because he said, he came to me and he said, I said, yes, I can. I do.
Yeah.
So we have to do.
You have to do.
So get Euphonic and then... another one. Okay, then I'm going... This other one I can't tell you because they've already approached me. It's a surprise.
Okay, we can't wait for the surprise.
It's coming. It's going to be really good.
Please,
guys,
let's
we are
not
talking
forget.
To Judith.
Yes.
We are talking to Judith.
Let's not forget empowerment. So part of La Lumba is empowerment. I mean, if, you know, through La Lumba you can launch a relatively unknown DJ and they actually become big.
Now,
that's legacy.
It is legacy, but now I'm careful about that. I will never, ever take on something that I will not make great.
There we go.
Yeah.
If someone comes to me and says, Judith, I'm going to record you. I know what it did to me back then. Right. It gave me hope. Mm. I saw myself in a big house. Mm. I saw myself, my life was just different. So that's what you're saying when you're saying to somebody, I'm going to record you. This is their gift. This is their life. Mm. So unless if I'm I know I'm going to put in more money and make you great.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try.
No, sure. Fair enough.
Okay. And now I need to ask, because we're going to run out of time soon.
Yeah. It's been great though. Yeah,
I can wonderful. See you having fun.
Yeah.
Mulalo, what being a girl who comes from Limpopo with all the challenges and the stepping stones that you've discussed, that yeah. you've told us about.
Yeah.
What are your dreams for other little girls who completely look up to you? Please, I mean, wow. we know that is such a fact. Yes. Everybody loves Lalo.
Yeah,
and
they do.
Me and Romeo, we can argue about which song. I always say A Cry, A Smile.
I say Memozwad. Okay, can we talk about that?
No, wait, wait.
No, let's talk about that. We're there.
Wait, listen to me. Listen to me. What I was saying is that.
Memozwad.
Yes. No, I understand that. But I'm saying, I was going to tell you why. For me, it's a cry. Because I know the 30 years before yes. A Cry.
Yeah.
I think that's what for me. Yeah. Then yes, then after A Cry, it would Memo be Memozwadi.
I'll tell you why I get Memozwadi.
Memozwadi. Now, yeah. I want us to talk to Memozwadi.
I'll Memo tell you why Memozwadi. Yeah.
So, okay, because I know why Memozwadi, but I will give you yes, reasons Rami. For you. I'll give you a chance for you to tell the listeners why Memozwadi.
Memozwadi.
When I'm Moscow Pela. Let me tell you why. Guys, we don't have time. We can play the song.
Come now, we're picking you up.
I am not going to do that.
How about
guys. Do you know who I am?
Okay. Levels.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I love that.
She doesn't know who she is.
She doesn't know who she is.
Somebody please come and collect
her. I love
her.
That.
Okay,
listen,
tell us about the Memozwadi.
Let me tell you
story.
Why Memozwadi. It's a very simple reason.
Mm.
Yeah.
Whenever I, listen, when I do my shows, I do my program nicely, right? Mm-hmm. And then I observe the audience. Depending on what, I have a screamer like this one, okay, we're on the right track. But when I do one song and I see they don't respond, I switch my program. My band is very quickly and on spot.
Okay.
So I switch my program to accommodate my audience because they come first at that point.
Yeah.
I promise you, I can do Memozwadi and do A Cry one after another, they will go mad for Memozwadi.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why now I say Memozwadi, because when that response alone shows me, you know what, you've done such a great job on this song.
That is a beautiful song, though.
A Cry is one of those, you know what?
Yeah.
It's a cry. We'll a be cry. Playing it 20
well,
years from now.
Yeah.
30 years, 40 years, 50 years.
Yes. Forever. Yeah. That is what I'm saying.
Mm.
The same way that we say Brenda Fassie weekend special,
yes,
and we say for you when you say Judith, we say A Cry.
I know,
you know,
I
there's
know.
A whole lot
yes.
of songs.
Yes.
Okay, and now you've been such a ray of sunshine, such a beacon of light for a whole lot of people. I'm telling you, and for me too. Well, because I know I'm hard on you because I know you, but you have been and you've just like lived your life
humbling.
In such. A beautiful way that people cannot help but fall in love with you.
That's humbling.
And I can't wait to see you go back and do all those other big projects that you want to do
goodness.
At home.
I can't wait.
To
Rami
empower,
and I will be the MC to the gospel.
To empower.
I need to
empower.
Think about that. You need to send your CVs. I don't
you know
just
what I mean?
accept
you know?
Everything
you know what I mean?
Right
the,
now.
Like,
fine.
You know what I mean? I mean, already she said yes to the interview. Okay, she didn't have a choice. I was like, shame, you will come.
Yeah.
You will come to our interview.
I can't say no to this
But
one.
You know what, Mulalo, it has been such an absolute pleasure.
Indeed.
Oh, my
having
goodness.
You in studio,
Thank
just
so
talking
much.
To you, taking us back to some of the things that people will not know. Mm. And because
so
I am the one who's boss here between the
song.
Three of us, let's hear what song we're going to play. And with that, we will see you next week. Tune in again to our beautiful
9
to 10 every Monday.
Right here
on Cliff Central. And next week, we are talking to Lesego Sebenya, Les the Chef. He's the one who's coming into studio to
nice.
Talk to us next week.
Right.
It's going to be a major, major kick-ass show. So that's it from us. Have a beautiful, beautiful day.
Yep.
And stay lighted.
Have a
be lighted.
Right.
Bye. Be lighted. CliffCentral.com.